You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
I've got a message today that I really believe that if you can live this sermon, live it, your life will never be the same. When we look at Scripture, it's clear that God wants us to experience life and life in abundance. Life and life in abundance. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God wants us to experience life and life in abundance. The Amplified Bible in John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Psalm 23 verse 5 says, God wants our cup to run over. That's his measurement, a cup that runs over. And I ask myself, how many Christians truly experience this? A life in abundance. One thing is sure, the devil wants your cup to be empty, but God wants your cup to be full. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants you dead. He wants to destroy your life. Don't be ignorant and think he doesn't want that. He wants to destroy your life. But Christ Jesus has come so that we can experience life and life in abundance. Turn to the person next to you, say, life in abundance. He wants you to experience life in abundance, joy in abundance, not just in abundance, to overflow to those that are around you. Once you start experiencing this life and life in abundance, everything in your life starts to change. Everything. You know what happens when you're in Christ Jesus? Romans 8 verse 1 says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who of you would like to experience that? 1 John 4, 8 says that perfect love casts out all fear. Who of you would like to experience that? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah 12 verse 3. God wants you to experience the supernatural fullness that comes from Him, being linked up to the divine nature of God. Many people don't experience that because they want Jesus to heal them, but they don't want to know the healer. They want to experience deliverance, but they don't want to know the deliverer. Isaiah says, 12 verse 3, "Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, 'Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth.'" He says, here's the secrets. Draw from the wells of salvation. A river that's on the inside, life that's on the inside. When you are connected to this river of life that starts to flow, the first work of the Holy Spirit is to regenerate your spirit. For us to be linked up with God so that the life that is in Christ Jesus himself can start to flow from your belly. Can I have one amen? You know why people don't want to experience the fullness of that and get connected completely? Because when you get connected in that way and those rivers start to flow, your life is going to start to change. And there are many things where people don't want to change. They want the healing, but they don't want the healer. They want deliverance, but they don't want the deliverer. I read something this week about A.W. Tozer. He said, many of us treat God like Saul treated David. They want him to kill the giants and sing songs that will keep the demons away, but he does not want him king. Can I say that again? Saul wanted David to kill the giants. He wanted him to play the instrument that the demons would flee, but he never wanted him king. We sometimes treat God like that. We want him to kill our giants. We want him to keep the demons away, but we don't want to make him king in our lives. Because once you allow him to become king and you give him the rightful place in your heart, you have to start to change. What we need in this nation, what we need in this world today, is people that will draw from the wells of salvation. People of heart, not just people of soul. Yes, serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, but let it start from this well of salvation on the inside, the rivers here. Are you drawing from the rivers of life that's on the inside? Am I talking to the right people here today? God challenged me so much with this message. It says, life and life in abundance. We wait for God to do it for us, but God says, I've placed it on the inside of you. Are you thirsty for a new level in life? Are you ready for a new level in life? Revelations 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let them take the water of life freely. Means the Spirit is saying, come, come drink from this. The bride, the church is saying, come. That means we are reaching up, we are reaching in, and we are reaching out. We are reaching up to get connected to that fountain of salvation, the wells of salvation. Then we're reaching in to allow these rivers of living water to start to flow. And then we start to water our communities. Are you ready to be a fountain of life? Are you ready to go out into this world and water this world? Some of us feel so dry, we say, Lord, just first water me. He says, come, come and drink from this water. It's available. John 4:13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Family, listen to me. This water on the inside is not just life and life in abundance. It's everlasting life because it's Jesus Christ, is the source himself. We have been called to be life-giving spirits. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. We're not life-sucking spirits, life-taking spirits. We're life-giving spirits. A giving spirit, a giving spirit. Wherever we go, we are ready to give. Give life. Let this water flow. Proverbs says, he who waters himself will be watered. If your well is full, is your fountain overflowing? And this is where I was sitting. I was wondering, I'm saying, God, how are we ready? You know, how do we get ready? Sometimes when people want to qualify for something, they'll say, if you want to qualify, you must be able to run, say, a 2.4 kilometers in this time, and you know you're ready. If you can do it, then you're ready. You're fit enough. Or for the comrades, you have to qualify. And sometimes I think there's a time where we're going to be before God, presented before God, qualified to bring him great joy. And I'm asking the question, what is the one thing that we have to do to be ready? Who of you would like to be ready? Who would you would like, instead of doing 100 things, just do one thing to be ready? And I'm saying, God, okay, what is that one thing? And the Lord said to me, are you full? Are you full of Jesus? And when you think about the parable with the 10 virgins, it's about the lamps being full. The Lord talks about my cup running over. What if the question is just one thing? Are you full of Jesus? Are you full? Are you full of his love? Are you full of his faith? Are you full of Jesus? Because God will look at our hearts and see if we are full of him. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, are you full? You know, they teach you, when you look at the glass, remember to say it's half full and not half empty, because if you're half empty, you're negative, but half full, at least you're positive. But when you're linked up with God, this river is a constant river that's flowing. And as you water those around you, you are being watered yourself. Proverbs says, as water reflects the face of man, so the heart reveals the man. So if we are full of Jesus on the inside, people should see it. If you have a heart to worship, we should see it. If you have a caring heart, we should see it. If you have a loving heart, should see it. Cannot say, I have a loving heart towards my wife. I love my wife. I just show it in a different way, but in my heart, I love her. What nonsense is that? Doesn't work with my wife. How do you think it's going to work with God, who can see into my heart? In my heart, I worship God. What? If you worship God in your heart, we'll see it. If you have a heart of worship, we'll see it. Because when you become a Christian, it's not something you do, it's who you become. Because this river is flowing. Humility is not something you do, it's who you've become because of your total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness is not something you do, it's who you've become. Because he who knew no sin became sin so that you can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Serving is not just something you do, it's who you've become because the greatest servant lives on the inside of you. We need people of heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, heart. You know, we need people of heart. We need people with fountains that can flow. It's better to have 10 people in a church whose fountains are flowing than have 10,000 people who's blocked. Because 10 fountains that are flowing at least can start to water. But if you have 1,000 people that are blocked, even worse, if your pastor is blocked, then the dry is speaking to the dry, trying to convince you here to live right. That's the problem in the church right now. The devil is convinced. The devil knows God is God. The devil knows there's a heaven. But guess what? He's going to go to hell. You need to be born again to be linked up with God to qualify for heaven. You don't qualify for heaven by association, by coming to church. You qualify by being born again. Born of the Spirit. Not convinced, converted. We have too many convinced Christians in this world. Serving God from here. And yes, you must know, you must serve God with all your mind. But we need converted Christians relying on God's ability, this fountain of life, drawing life from here. Because if you're dry, how can you water? So, I read a scripture this week. I've read it many times, but when I read it, it just shook everything in me. I said, God, help me to live this one scripture. And I'm telling you now, if you can live this one scripture, you'll go to heaven. Would you like to hear the scripture? Who are you going to memorize the scripture? Oh, okay. Are you ready? This is my scripture that shook every part, because when I read it, I realized how much I need God. You need God to live this scripture. You need the fountain of life on the inside to live this scripture. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, the rock that the church was built upon. Look at this. Since you have purified your souls, oh my God, purified your souls, your will, your intellect, your emotions. Who of you had just good, pure thoughts this whole week? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, let me see who battled with some bad thoughts, people that offended you. Turn to the person next to you, say, river of life, flow over my soul. James 1 verse 21 says, with meekness we receive the word of God into our hearts, which is able to save our souls, sanctify our souls, purify our souls, because this word has got purifying power, healing power, deliverance power. Since you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Acts 5:32 says the Holy Spirit are given to those who obey Him. You want more Holy Spirit in your life? Obey the Word of God more. Here's the next part. Here's the part that got me stuck on the verse for the whole week. In sincere love. Sincere love. Genuine love. David said in Psalm 51, what do you require, Lord? You require sincerity in my innermost parts, in my heart. Sincere love. You know what sincere love? Sincere love is constant love. Sincere love is the way that Jesus loves. Sincere love is believing the best about people even when they've got a different view than what you've got. It gets better. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love with a pure heart. Who have you just had pure heart loving this whole week? Let me see your hand. Raise nice. Who got offended love? They made you angry, but at least you still spoke to them. Let me just see. Contaminated love. Amen. Conditional love. Let me just see you had conditional love. At least you greeted them, or they greeted you, but you just nodded. You didn't greet them back. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Family, listen to me. The Bible tells us in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. It will grow cold. But God requires of us to have sincere love. Number one, towards the brethren, those around us. So let me just tell you, without the word and without the help of the Holy Spirit, there's no ways that we can live that scripture. You need rivers of living water to flow from the inside to be able to love somebody with a sincere heart. Sincere love. The greatest gift that God can give to any heart is sincere love. Sincere love. To know that you love a person with sincere love and they love you with sincere love. To love our God with sincere love. Real love, authentic love. Not loving God for what he can do for you, loving God for who he is. So what is sincere love? Well, I'll give you one scripture. Romans 5 says, he demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What God purposed in his heart, he did it. It manifested. His sincere love towards us to make a way so that there can be hope. Sincere love. Can you see how much you need to be plugged into the source, eternal life, that river of life on the inside to help you? A love that is constant. Constant. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That river wants to flow constantly. But you know what blocks it? Offense. Bitterness, resentment, situations, circumstances that we allow. You need God if you want to love like God. You need God if you want to forgive like God. Paul said, as Christ has forgiven me, I forgive you. Do you know why people don't want God completely in their lives? Because then you have to start to forgive the way that God forgives. You have to start to love the way that God loves. So the question you have to ask yourself, do you want to serve God from your soul or do you want to serve God from your spirit? Do you want to serve God only with your mind or do you want to serve God with your heart? Because when you're in a relationship, the person doesn't want to hear all the nice words coming from your mind. People can say the right things. What they're really after is the heart. Sincere love is the greatest gift to the heart of man. A fountain of life. A fountain of life. It's available to everybody. He says, come and drink. Come and drink. Come and get connected and let that river start to flow. And when that river starts to flow, wherever you go, doesn't matter what dryness is there, that's not ordinary water. It's a water when it starts to flow. Those that are thirsty will not thirst anymore. It removes condemnation. It removes fear. Because in perfect love casts out all fear. When you're in Christ Jesus and you're linked up to that source of eternal life, no more condemnation. Turn to the person next to you and say, condemnation is not your portion. Some of you, when you feel condemned, all you have to do is go pray in the Spirit for half an hour or an hour, and you'll see things will start to change. I'm closing with this. Romans 8 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." I want to ask you, what's leading you? Is the Spirit of God leading you, or is your emotions leading you? Is your circumstances leading you? We live in a world where people's emotions are leading them. Just go on Facebook. Everybody's got something to say. Jesus wants us to draw from the wells of salvation, a river that produces eternal life. When you are being led by that and you're allowing that water to flow, things will start to change. When you are linked up to God, His divine nature becomes your nature. Doesn't mean this flesh is not going to want to do crazy stuff. It means you're listening and allowing this water to flow. Even if your heart is hard, I promise you, between the battle between the water and the rock, water wins in the end. The water will shape that heart, that rock, in the right way. Amen. We need people of heart. Turn to the person next to you, say, people of heart. Why do I say people of heart? We need people of heart that will forgive in the way that Jesus forgives, but will also love the way that Jesus loves. When He's returning, that's what He's looking for. Looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if it's not spirit, it's not truth. What is He looking for? He's looking for a heart that's full of love towards Him. Loving God, loving people. So, this is the first work of the Holy Spirit, is to regenerate your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him," so that those rivers of living water can start to flow. It's a heart that's surrendered completely to God. When somebody's made you angry or disappointed you, say, "Lord, I need your help. I need sincere love towards this person. As you love me, help me to love. As you've forgiven me, help me to forgive." Let's get connected to the source. And let's start to flow. Proverbs says, "He who waters will himself be watered." So guess what? The more you allow these rivers of living water to flow, the more you're going to get filled. That's the secret. Reaching up, reaching in, reaching out. God has called us to be life-giving spirits. 1 Corinthians 15:45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." A life-giving spirit, that's what's on the inside of you. When you become born again, you can bring light and life wherever you go. You're not that light and that life. But because that light and life comes from Christ Jesus, you can let your light shine. You can start to speak life, declare life into every situation. He's called us to be that. Let's be it. When you've received that life, that's what it means, I'm saved to save others. Because you've experienced that, you know, I can share that. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Because you are blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus, you can go out and be a blessing. And you can start to experience life and life in abundance. Although there's chaos around you, because you are linked up with the right source, things can start to change. Jesus said very simply, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted." What was He saying? He said, as soon as you get connected to the source, the Spirit of God, and those rivers start to flow, it will start to bring change in your life. But you know what happens? I mean, I'm not going to start to preach this now. This clean water starts to flow, and then we speak bitter things. And James says, how can this be? That from the same fountain, sweet and bitter water is flowing. Make a decision and allow the sweet waters, living waters of the Holy Spirit, to flow from your innermost part. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Just pray in the Spirit and draw from this. Pray God's perfect will and you'll see how things will start to change. As we water people, we ourselves will be watered. God has called us to experience life and life in abundance. That life in abundance starts the minute you become born again, the minute you are connected to God.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.